Acts chapter 4, the power of a prayer meeting. Starting in verse 23 of Acts chapter 4. Says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of the truth against thy holy child Jesus, from whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever they had thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that this morning you would speak to each one of us here this morning personally, that your word would go out and it would touch our lives and it would change them for the better. I pray, Father, you'd give me boldness to proclaim your word. I pray that you would give me the very words to preach this morning, Father, and I pray that you would be lifted up on high, that all men would be drawn unto you. And we thank you for this time that we have together, and I pray, Father, as you speak to each one of us, I pray that we would be receptive to your word and willing to act upon it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Peter and John have been arrested and threatened. They were threatened not to preach Christ. And the Lord had told them to, what? To continue to preach the Word of God. And man said not to. I have a problem when people tell me what I can and can't preach. It's not man's job. It's not man's job to tell a preacher that God has called what they can and cannot preach. God's job is to tell the preacher what they're to preach. And that's where direction comes from. But they're torn between God and man here, right? Man saying, don't preach anymore, and God saying, keep preaching. Got news for you. We need to listen to God and not man. When God says to quit preaching, then we need to quit preaching. But God's word tells us it's by the foolishness of preaching that people get saved. By the foolishness of preaching. We need to keep preaching. As I've said, in our day and age where churches are closing out the Sunday night service and the Wednesday, our midweek service, as we have Thursdays, they're saying we need less preaching of the Word of God. I believe we need more. We need more preaching of the Word of God. So they're torn between the two, and when they're released, they need a break. So where'd they go? They went and drowned their sorrows, right? No, that's not exactly what they did. In fact, in other words, no, they went, they had a praise and prayer meeting. When things looked bad, they went and had a praise and prayer meeting. They went to meet with God because they knew that God could turn this around. And they knew where they needed to go. And yes, praise is a part of prayer. We need more praise in our prayers. In verses 23 and 24 of our text, it says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. They understood exactly who God was. They knew exactly who he was. Peter and John here persecuted, and yet it led them to pray and praise God. persecuted, and it led them to do that. Does it remind you of anybody? Does it remind you of anybody that under persecution it led them to praise God and to pray? I think of Paul and Silas in prison. Paul and Silas in prison, and what are they doing? They're singing praises to God. They're having a prayer meeting with God in prison. They're not doing the, woe is me, life is horrible. No, they're praying and praising God. And so, what a wonderful thing to do. How about David? He's being pursued. He's being pursued and hunted like an animal. And what does he do? He prays and praises God. I think of Job in the midst of unspeakable grief. What does he do? He cries out to God, right? Amazing. Moses, when the people complained about his leadership, he went to God and said, God, these people you gave me, right? But he went to God. Instead of throwing in the towel because persecution comes, which is what so many times we want to do, right? I don't need this. I'm just throwing the towel and go home, right? But no. How about Noah? While he's preaching to the people, they mocked him, ridiculed him. He cried out to God. This same John, exiled on the Isle of Patmos, what happens? Has a praise and prayer meeting with God. Jesus on the cross. Jesus, his battered body, bleeding, torn, went through so much. And what does he do? Cries out to God the Father. He says, it is finished. It is finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. I've been reminded in Scripture over and over and over about those who praise the Lord following trial or persecution. Anyone else you might think of? Anyone else that we might think of? Does this remind you of somebody? How about yourself? Do we cry out to God when we're being persecuted? Do we praise God when we're being persecuted? I go back to Romans 8:28, one of my many favorite verses, right? All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. If we believe that that is true, then even in persecution, we have to be willing to cry out to God in prayer and praise. Some will say, nope, doesn't sound anything like me. We go everywhere but God, right? We're being persecuted and we got to go find out what everybody else thinks about it. How about we just go to God? He wants us to. Why is it that we don't praise the Lord when bad things happen? So I mentioned Romans 8:28. Do we believe that? See, it's easy to say with our lips that yes, we believe that. It's another to actually live it. It's another to actually live the fact that we believe that God's using every last detail for our good, even when we're being persecuted. And let me just throw this out there. We in the United States of America really don't know persecution today. We have no idea. We have people, I mentioned Laos, Brother Hammond. He could be put to death for preaching the gospel in Laos. Yet he started three new works in the middle of a pandemic when they're supposed to be shut down. Not them in particular, because they don't know they're there, right? Yet when you're in a country where it's illegal, you got to work underground. How do you start three new works when you're doing it all underground? If you don't know the answer to that, let me introduce you to my God. because he's the one that does it. But why don't we praise the Lord when bad things happen? We'll pray. We'll pray. Yeah, that's when our prayer life jumps into high gear, right? Things are not going well, Lord. What are you going to do about it? Yeah. Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Begins and ends with praise. He said to rejoice when we're persecuted. Yeah. We'll be in good company when we rejoice when we're persecuted. We need to rejoice in persecution. If we follow Him, and I mean really, really follow Him, others will know and they will criticize. People do not like it when they find out that you're sold out for Jesus Christ. They will criticize. Some will even persecute. And the Bible says, all who live godly shall suffer, get ready, it's coming, persecution. And then it comes and we go, well, what's this all about? All who live godly shall suffer persecution. You thought you might miss that? If you're living godly, you're not going to miss out on the persecution part. There will be those that will persecute you. Now, is that why we don't praise often? Because we are not persecuted? Because we're not living godly? Could that be the answer? But our praise is not tied only to persecution. Do you get that? You can praise God not only when you're persecuted, but all the time. And we should. We should praise God. You know, it snowed this morning at our house. Praise the Lord, right? I can praise the Lord because it was so little we'd drive right over it. It was so nice. And guess what's coming this afternoon? Close to 40 degree weather, supposedly. If they're right this time, that'll be melted before I get there. Praise the Lord, right? Do we need the snow? Yes, we need it. Rain's coming too this afternoon. Can you imagine what that's going to do? If you still have piles of snow in front of your house like I do, that's going to make it a mess. Praise the Lord. Right? We want to praise the Lord when the sun's shining. Don't you need rain? We do need rain. Let's praise Him when it rains. We think the rain should happen sometime between 10 at night and 5 in the morning, right? So we never have to deal with it, right? Except for those who work the midnight hours, right? But yeah, let's praise Him all the time. We praise Him for the great things He has done, and we should praise Him for who He is. There's so much for which we are to be thankful. So much. And the Bible says His praise should continually be in our mouth. Continually. Like, without ceasing, like, right? Continually. Keep your hand in X, because we'll be there again, but turn over to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verses 1 through 3. It says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Praise without ceasing. Praise without ceasing. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, but how about praise without ceasing? Can you imagine? Can you imagine what that'd be like? Praying and praising without ceasing. Can you imagine prayer and praise being on your mind all the time? People say, you've never been behind the wheel of a car, right? Hey, you should be praying a lot when you're behind the wheel of a car. If you don't think so, drivers are getting crazier and crazier all the time. You should be praying a lot when you're behind the wheel of a car and praising God for keeping you from an accident, keeping you from trouble. I wonder what peace we often forfeit because we don't realize who He is. We don't praise Him for who He is. We don't pray enough. Verse 23 of our text says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them." They had headed to their own people, to their own company. They went back to the people that they knew. And we do that. We like to be around people who like us, right? It's easy to be around people who like you. It's hard to be around people who don't like you, but it's easy to be around people who like us. People who are like us also. It's easier to do that. You can tell a lot about a person by the people they run around with, and when trouble comes, the people they run to. I find it interesting that Peter and John ran to their own company, but it's a shame when people get into trouble, the last place they run to is the house of God. They get into trouble in the last place. I got a call 2 weeks ago from a lady. She left the message on the phone. I retrieved it and it said, "I've tried everything I can. My power is going to be shut off this afternoon. I need any help you can give me. And Avista told me to get out the phone book and call all the churches in the area." I got to tell you, Avista doesn't shut your power off because you're one day behind on the payments. Doesn't happen. Do you know you have to be a few months behind on your payment before Avista shuts you off? Totally. Especially in the dead of winter. That's not telling you to quit making your payments for several months because you have that. If you're going to be a Christian, let's be a Christian and let's be like Christ. He would not have let the payment lapse. But I found it interesting that she waited to the last day within hours of being disconnected to reach out and ask for help. I also found it amazing that from her name, I've never, since I've been here, seen that name in this church. If she was in dire straits, why didn't she seek out God sooner? The answer is they don't want God. They just want His money. Right? They go to the church, ask the church to help. The money belongs to who? God. It's amazing to me. I like when they call and I say, "Well, if you come and join us in a service, I'll talk to you after about seeing what we can do." Nope, that's okay. How bad do you need the help? Isn't it worth coming and sitting in on a sermon first if you need the help bad enough? But they won't. But why do they not come to the house of God where, I got to tell you, it's a spiritual hospital. Anybody should be allowed in the house of God. Why do they not come? We need to make church a place where people can go when they're hurting. They have needs. I'd say we need to do away with selfish Christianity. Selfish Christianity says, I go to church only for what I can get out of it. Think about who might be in the midst that might need what you have. And I'm not talking about material possessions and all. I'm talking about maybe the knowledge that you have. Maybe some of the abilities that you have to help them draw closer to the Lord. This idea that Christianity should be selfish is not taught in the Word of God. We need to be here as that spiritual hospital. And people need to be able to come and know that they'll be accepted. Four things that can revolutionize your prayer life. United prayer. The Bible says they were in one accord. One accord. Bible times they dropped to their knees, they held hands, and they prayed. They prayed together. It's important. We need to have private prayer lives. But we also need to pray as a family. We also need to pray as a church. And we need to not just pray the Lord, keep me safe tonight. See you in the morning. Or, Lord, thanks for the food. Keep it coming. Talk to you next time. How about spend some time with God in prayer? He wants to hear from His people. We need to be united. Satan knows that divided will fall. But he also knows that united we could stand. We need to be united. Number two, God-centered prayer. They did not focus on their problems, they focused on their God. See, we have such a history of going to God and saying, man, God, you haven't seen it, but man, this storm in my life is huge. When we should be going to our storm and saying, hey, you obviously haven't met my God. See, it's all in how we look at things. How big is your God? Big enough to create everything? Because I got to tell you, the God that I serve created it all. Spoke it into existence. If He can do that, there's no storm out there that's too big for Him. We need to recognize God for who He is. Verse 24 of our text, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. They recognized God as the Creator. They recognized exactly who He was. We will recognize God as who He is when we put our problems in perspective. They're nothing compared to God. So who are you going to in your problems? You're going to your neighbor or your family or your friends, co-workers. What are they going to be able to do? But God can calm the storms. And I have to tell you, He's big enough to handle it. No matter how big your storm is, He's bigger. When we have problems, we're tempted to pray a prayer of complaint. Complaint, as if God is responsible for what happened, right? God, how could you let this happen, right? I still go back to 9/11, the Twin Towers and the Pentagon, and the very next day, front page of the paper, where is God? It's like they're blaming God because this happened. Whose fault is it? We need to look in the mirror, folks. Man caused this. It's sin. Sin is the cause. It's our fault that these things happen. Sin. Every time somebody says, well, why did this happen? I can tell you the one answer for everything that's going on that's bad in the world. It's sin. God said, right? There's going to be troubles because of sin, right? We're going to have to work hard because of sin. Yeah. As a child of God, you have a way of escape from sin. God gave us a way out. We don't have to sin. Most powerful prayers in Scripture, when you read them, you'll find that they're not problem-centered, but God-centered. Let's get our focus off our problems and get our focus on the God. I'm not saying problems aren't going to come. I already told you. All that live godly in Christ Jesus will, they shall, which means you're going to, suffer persecution. We're going to have troubles. How are we going to deal with them? Go to God. Nehemiah chapter 9, he was in serious trouble. Serious trouble. But he spent several minutes praising things about who God is before he gave him his petition. Isaiah chapter 42, he talks about God's power, his guidance, his control, his faithfulness prior to his requests. We use God as a vending machine, and we go over and we say, okay, I want this one, and I want this one, and I want this one, and we put something into it, and we get it back, right? Except for when it rips us off, and then we got to shake the machine and throw a tizzy fit, right? That's how we treat God. Let's go to God and praise Him for who He is. And then as almost like an afterthought, let's throw in at the end what our requests are. Instead of just going with no praise whatsoever and giving Him all our requests, and it's a laundry list, right? God, fix this, 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 and this, and I'd like it done by 2 o'clock today. And oh, by the way, this is the way I'd like you to do it too. Doesn't work that way. Let's praise Him for who He is. David, he was king. But even before he was king, he was the king of this kind of praise. David spent an awful lot of time with God. Spent a lot of time talking to God. We just talked to Him more. We would praise more. And it would affect how we pray. And when we pray. It would change the tone of our prayers and our attitude towards God and to our problems. Do you know you can't have negative feelings towards somebody that you pray for all the time? It's hard to pray for somebody all the time and have negative feelings towards them. Just telling you, if you're going to pray for them, it's because you care about them. We don't generally pray for people we don't care for, right? I mean, I've heard over and over and over, you know, those evil, wicked pedophiles, they don't need our prayers. Really? I think they do. I think The pedophiles need our prayers. The abortionists need our prayers. I think that if we would pray for these people, we might start feeling like they're a human being. They're a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. Jesus loves them. You know, but they're so unlovable. Have you looked in the mirror? We aren't so lovable either. The Bible tells us that there's none righteous, no, not one. We're not all that lovable. We think we are, but we're really not. Jesus died on the cross because of us, because of our sin. Yeah. Take that in. How lovable are you? When we were at enmity with Christ, He died for us that we could be reconciled back to God. Tell me how lovable we were. You pray for somebody, you're not going to be able to hold bad feelings towards them. You pray for somebody, be careful, because you might become good friends. Revolutionize your prayer life by making it a praise life rather than just a heavenly complaint box. Take out some moans and add in some amens. Wouldn't hurt to add some hallelujahs along the way either. Set gratitude up front in the front seat that's normally reserved just for your groaning, right? You're murmuring and complaining. And this was also a scriptural prayer based on Scripture. We can quote Scripture when we hide it in our heart that we can recall it. So we can pray Scripture. Verses 25 through 26 of our text, "Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of this earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ." This comes from Psalm chapter 2. A prophecy made hundreds of years before Christ of how the kings of the earth would conspire against Him. But in the middle of it all, God would be in control. Then they pray the interpretation in verse 27, "For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together." They all gang up, as predicted, verse 28. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." It says, these guys were puppets. They were your puppets, Lord. See, they did exactly what God had directed that they were going to do. Jesus came to lay down His life. These things had to take place. Verses 29 through 30. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with thy boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." They apply it to their own situation now. Lord, You were in control when the rulers crucified Jesus, and now You are in control of what's going on in our lives too. They pray Scripture, claiming Scripture, praying based on the Bible, and so can we. And we should. How should we pray? Biblically. For souls. For souls. Lord, You are not willing for them to perish. So the Bible tells us to pray for souls. Lord, You added to the church daily. Let's pray for adding. You are the great physician who touched blind eyes. Let's pray for healing. You brought the prodigal home. please do it for our child as well. We can pray these things. Then four, this was a totally unselfish prayer. Totally unselfish. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Amazing. They didn't pray for deliverance, for God to crush the heads of the enemies, right? They didn't do that. They didn't say, God, send fire from heaven, devour them. They didn't ask for that. That's not what they asked for. What they asked for was that they would still be able to do what God called them to do. What God directed them to do. What they were supposed to do in spite of it all. That's all they asked for. What do we pray? What do we pray? Do we pray like that? No, we pray, God, get me out of this situation, right? I talk to people. Talk to a lot of people. It's amazing. People get into debt. God's people get into debt so far they can't afford to pay their bills. And then they say, God, you need to get me out of this. God said not to be the servant of the lender. But we do it anyway, and then we go to God and say, this is your problem. You need to fix this. Just wonder if he sits up there and says, I told you not to do this. You did this all your own. And now you want me to fix it so you can go and redo it again? I think if it hurts too much, you'll learn your lesson. I don't know. You guys are fortunate I'm not God, right? I believe in it hurting too much. If it hurts too much, we'll learn. And we won't do it again. We need to go to God. But we also need to do what he tells us to. We ask God to get us out of the situation. Don't get us deeper into it, right? God, whatever you do, don't let me sink any further in the miry clay, right? Just let me get out of this, help me out of this, and I won't do it again. And we don't say it, but we mean it, until next time, right? And God says, no, you need to learn. You need to learn. He's not going to leave you there. But we need to learn. What we like to say is, God, just kill him. Right? Just kill him. Take care of my problem totally. Just wipe them out. Smite them with the fleas of 1,000 camels, right? Let's just get rid of them. Let's just make their life miserable. They're making mine miserable. Let's just get even. It's not our job to ask God for us to be able to get even. Look at the power of praying in the assembly. In verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Boldness. They prayed right, and they received. They received boldness and power. See, they asked God to let them do what he already asked them to do. Just let us continue preaching your word. And he gave them power and he gave them boldness. Amazing. When it wasn't selfish, it was just asking God to provide them the ability to do what he asked them to do. How do we pray? Do we pray like they prayed? They got power and boldness. Wouldn't you like some power and some boldness to go out and proclaim the gospel message? All we ought to do is ask God. And He'll give it to us. So let's have some praise in our prayers. And not just complaints. In fact, why don't we just throw the complaints out? Remember what happened? Every time they murmured and complained, things didn't go so well. Taught me that God doesn't like murmuring and complaining. When you murmur and complain, things don't go so well. But when we get our focus off of us and get Him onto God, we pray right, and He's going to give us boldness and power to do what He's called us to do. Let's pray.